did you come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are asking, Father, that our hearts are truly open.
Amen.
We ask, Father, that our soul is like dry ground to receive the water and the washing of the Word.
Amen.
Father, you see us tonight, and you see what where we are and what it is that we shall be and where it is and how it is that we are to get there. And Father, we pray that as we go forth out of this place, that were ancient word, those living words, Father, that have been spread abroad in our hearts, my God, like a sower that goes out to sow the seed in his field, Father, that they will take root and that they will bloom and they will bring forth a fruit unto harvest, my God. We just pray tonight against every spirit of contention. We come against every spirit that is adverse and contrary to the openness of our hearts. Father, the blockages that we might have because of this or because of that, we bind them by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we say that they shall not prevail. Whatever device, whatever mechanism that the devil has contrived within our minds, within our emotions, within our desires, whatever traps he has laid, my God, we say they shall not come to a place of fruition. We rebuke them by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be delivered. It says that you sent your word and it delivered, it healed, it brought restoration, it brought resurrection, it brought the power of regeneration. And Father, we are looking to you this evening for the power of that word, for the power and the anointing of that spirit. We ask, oh God, that you would make your presence known in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You will have to pray for me because I don't know whether or not my voice is going to make it. By the grace of God, I suppose it will. Hallelujah. I want to share with you a story out of Isaiah. Hallelujah. I want to go to Isaiah, the 7th chapter. I am not going to read the whole thing. You can go back and read it. I do not want to make it too long or longer than it should be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, you're going to be here a while then. You didn't sound too energetic. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is a lot of things, before I go into this, there is a lot of things that the Lord is laying on our table for these last couple of days. A lot of word that has gone forth. And I encourage you all that when the tapes become available, that you make every effort to get it. And don't just sit it on a shelf or sit it on a desk someplace or throw it in a corner on your book stand. But you take it and you play it, 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 and you play it again. And when you get to the point that you can recite it, you can quit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One of the fallacies of church is that we come, we hear a message, and we say, praise the Lord. We get encouraged, we get lifted up, we get energized, we go out the door, and the devil hits us, and we forget the message. Hallelujah. And we find ourselves right back in the same place, fighting the same devils, working ourselves up into a lather, trying to overcome, trying to move on beyond where it was, what we were in, the place that we were in before we went into the meeting. And then on top of that, the devil comes and he discourages you. He tells you, well, see, I told you it wasn't going to help you. Wasn't going to do you any good. You just wasted your time. You wasted your money. You wasted your energy. You could have been doing something else that was a lot more profitable. Well, in some respects, he's right. Because, you know, it is up to us in the aspect of what we do with what it is we hear. Praise the Lord. And not only that, but not only do you have to work against you have to work against your own flesh, your own problems, your own situations, your own darkness, your own blackness in the aspect of sin and death and degradation. Hallelujah. But there are principles in God. And if you violate them, you become guilty. Hello? And whether you know it or not, there is an action that comes because of what you do or you don't do. If you're supposed to do what you should do and you don't. Hallelujah. It's not enough just to feel bad about it. Hallelujah. It's not enough just to recognize the fact that you're right back there again. You have to do something. You have to do something. Hallelujah. When Jesus hung on the cross, there are three words that he uttered that are some of the most important words that he ever uttered in his lifetime. And those three words, it is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. That means in the finishing of what he did everything he was supposed to do. And everything he did was perfect. And everything he did gave you and I the power to do what he did and to do better. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ was healing the sick and raising the dead, when Jesus Christ was moving through the land and feeding the 5,000and healing the people who had no legs and leprosies and all of the things that were going on. Can you imagine? Wouldn't that have been marvelous? Praise the Lord. To be there in that time, to be there in that day, I think it would be marvelous, but it wouldn't help me, I don't think, if I don't come to a revelation or an understanding of the plan, the purposes, the destiny for which I was created. And I'm not talking about so many years ago when I was born into the family of Asbel. Praise God. That's not when I was created. When I was created was when I got born again. Amen. Hallelujah. When I got born again, the old man died. Hallelujah. Not only did he die, he got buried. Now I keep digging him up every now and then, but he's still dead. Now I guess you could call that a walking zombie, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can be a zombie, a Christian zombie. Can you imagine that terminology? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But God said, it is finished. It is finished. You know, I think when Brother Chijoki was ministering and he brought the word, ye are sons of God. Is that what you said? Now. Hello? Do you remember a conference we had down in Florida? Hallelujah. And the word now was something that we were in contact with. The guy wrote the book. The guy that wrote it, he died. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we, in order for us to understand the reality of that now, we have to die. Did you hear me? We have to die. Oh yes, you've heard it, you've heard it, you've heard it. So why are you still walking around in your zombified state? Why are you still zombieing your circumstances? Huh? Hallelujah. 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 We are living in one of the most critical times of human history. Hallelujah. We are living, I say living in, not on the threshold of, I say we are living in one of the most critical times of human history. Hallelujah. It is when human existence is supposed to cease and divine living begins. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be by some virtue of God moving in some supernatural way to come down into your circumstances and make all of the adjustments that makes you a happy person. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you to be happy. God don't want you to be happy. Hallelujah. God wants you to be dissatisfied. Agitated, irritated, mad. Not at the people around you, please. Hallelujah. But God wants you to be mad. He wants you to be mad at the devil. He wants you to be mad over the sin that you see in the world. He wants you to be mad over the degradation and death that is happening all over the world globally. Hallelujah. You know you weren't called to be local people. And I don't mean local in the head. God called you to be a global influence. God called you to be a global, have a global effect, like global warming, right? God is calling you to be global in your thinking, global in your actions, global in your living, global in your position of existence. Hallelujah. But you know what? The devil don't want you to believe that you're global. Hallelujah. The devil wants you to believe that you're local. And I don't mean local like a Besa. Huh? Hallelujah. There is something that we have had and we are having and we are now yet coming into a revelation of the end time. I don't know if any of you heard this afternoon when Brother Tojoki was ministering and he said these things would be hidden until. Wasn't that what you said? Huh? These things shall be hidden until what? The man of sin is being revealed. Oh, I said being, right? Oh, my goodness. I just rewrote the Bible. Hallelujah. It says that these things, I get it all mixed up. I don't know. Hallelujah. All I know, there is a holding back until. Until what? The man of sin is to be revealed. Hallelujah. Well, you can take the to be out. Yes, hallelujah. Come on. Yes. You can take the to be out. Yes. For the man of sin is being revealed. Amen. Brethren, we are not only one of the most honored and privileged people, but we are also one of the most people that is standing in one of the most trepidatious place. Hallelujah. No man has come to where we are and crossed over in the aspect of how it is that God wants us to cross over. Hello? Never in history, never. Oh, we've had examples. We had little people going out and doing mighty things. Hallelujah. But never have we had a group of people and the devil doesn't believe you can do it. And so far he's right. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't believe you can do it. The devil doesn't believe it. He says you're too human. You don't have enough divinity inside of you. Hallelujah, to do it. You know, the devil knows what you can do better than what he knows, what you know what you can do. Yes, he does. He does. He does. Did you hear me? He does. Hallelujah. The devil knows what the plan of God is. The devil knows you as a son of God. God, the devil knows your potentiality whole much better than you. But there's one thing the devil got going for you, going for him. He knows you on the natural level all the way back. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so he brings out all of the trump cards, plays it there. You move today, plays it there. And all of a sudden you get frustrated, throw up your hands and say, oh, I'm, what's the use? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a situation that was happening in the 7th chapter of Isaiah. And in that, Ahaz was at that particular time the king of Judah. He was out of the house of Judah. And there was this Assyrian king. Wasn't it an Assyrian king? Yes, the king of Assyria. This, huh? What did I say? Assyria. I just saying what I said. Assyria. I'm glad you're listening, by the way. Praise the Lord. So this king of Syria. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed? Does that name ring a bell to you? Huh? Is there something in the modern day condition of the world that is affecting the world? Hello? Hallelujah. Everybody thought it was going to topple like every other government, didn't they? Hallelujah. But it isn't in the plan of God that it would topple in that matter. It was not in the plan of God that it would come to a place of nothing in that manner. That is not the plan of God. Hallelujah. If the plan of God, if the story in in chapter 7 is an illustration of the end time. If it's an illustration of the position, the place of conflict that is now going on, this king of Assyria, and I'm really serious about it, Syria. This king decided he was going to go up and vex Israel, vex Judah. It wasn't Israel, it was Judah. Hallelujah. Of which house you are.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. That king decided he's going to be like a thorn in the flesh of Judah. Hallelujah. We are not of the tribe of Israel per se. We are the tribe of Judah. Yeah. Not in the natural sense. Please don't think that way. You know, I had an opportunity while I was away in one of these countries that I have been in to get involved with some Messianic Jews. Hallelujah. You know, they're just as much as an organization as the Baptists, the Methodists, the Protestant, and you know, the rabbis are just rabbinical pastors. Did you hear me? Rabbinical pastors. Hallelujah. And I was ministering to a man, and I went back, and you know, he was this all kinds of lovey-dovey and wanted to embrace me and share his game, brought me into his church and whatnot, his synagogue. Forgive me. Hallelujah. And began to let me minister the word of God and all of those things. But I found out one day he came to me and he said, you know, Brother Bert, we do not want a replacement theology. I said, I'm not trying to replace your theology. I said, I'm just trying to kill it and give you something that is living. I said, I'm not trying to replace it. You just have to tear it down and start all over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, he didn't like that too much. Hallelujah. And I know why he didn't like that too much, but I'm not going to tell you. But we have this situation here in John, in Isaiah chapter 7. Now, you know, my brother Barak was saying earlier that he is kind of fascinated with numbers and how they relate to scriptures. And, you know, I can kind of harmonize with him in that thought because I like numbers in scriptures too. Not that I'm a mathematic. I have trouble just putting one and one together. Hallelujah. Because I found out something in God's economy. One and one doesn't always make two. Sometimes one and one makes zero. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I like the spiritual interpretation of numbers. Seven is the number of perfection. And you know, it's really amazing how they did this Bible. When they wrote it, there wasn't chapter, there wasn't verses. It was just written like a scroll, a running scroll. Isn't that right? Do I have my facts mixed up or am I saying something that's not true? They just wrote it as a running story, book to book, chapter to chapter, book to book, and all of those things. There were men that had to come in after them years down the road and figure out who wrote what, right? Do I have it right, Brother Mark?
Well, there was a scroll of Isaiah.
Okay, thank you. So we had that, but they had to come in. And they had to begin to divide it up into chapters. And they had to divide it up into verses. And it's amazing to me. These men, this was years down the road. And these men, they came in and so many of the numbers in the chapters and all of the numerics of it line up with the thought or the intent that is in the scripture. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Isn't that, come on, you don't sound too excited about that. Huh? That's amazing. That's amazing. I can sit there and look at a number and the context of the scripture and just get lost in my thinking and meditation over just that little fact. Hallelujah. But seven is the number of perfection. So there's an element of perfection that is working here in this chapter. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but in the essence of the chapter, this king decided he was going to come against Judah, and he was going to go up, and he was going to vex them. And he not only was going going to go up to Judah, but he was going to go up toward Jerusalem to war against it. Hallelujah. Hello? Hallelujah. There's a war going on. Have anybody ever noticed that? Yeah, there's a war. I'm not talking about what's happening in Syria. I'm not talking about what's going on over there in the Middle East. I'm not talking about Iran. I'm talking about the church, the people of God. There's a war going on. Hallelujah. And brethren, it is a fight to the finish. It is a fight to the death. Hallelujah. And you know, you may back out of this word and try to get as far away from it as you possibly can, but it's not going to do you any good. Because you see, what the devil knows is you have already been contaminated. You have an incurable disease. Hallelujah. And the devil has to exterminate you because you are a liability. I don't care how you have responded, how you reacted. I don't care where you are and what you are doing. As far as getting as far away from this, the reality of this message as you can get. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you. You are contaminated. You are marked, man. Hallelujah. And you know what? You're going to get tribulated as though you were doing what you're supposed to be doing. The devil's going to come after you just like he would come after somebody who is pressing with all of their might. Why? Because you are a liability. And the devil doesn't really know where it is you might switch. Hallelujah. Devil doesn't know when you might turn over a new leaf. When you might change your thought and your actions and begin to take what you have really seriously. Amen. Hallelujah. So the devil has to do something about you. And what else I know? That type of person, the devil is first going to go after them. Because they are the least protected. They are the least ones that are outside of the umbrella covering. Of that particular word, there's an umbrella covering comes to an individual who is pressing for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, I want to tell you a little story. And you may say I'm off. That's all right. You can say that. I've been told that before. Hallelujah. I was in Sierra Leone when David Wilkerson died. And I heard the news and it was almost unbelievable. And I can't really tell you how it affected me. Hallelujah. But I can tell you, I went to God because I was troubled. Not so much that he died, it was the way he died. It bothered me. It bothered me immensely. Because there's a covering that is supposed to give, that God gives to his servants. There's a protection that goes around these individuals who have a particular ministry and have been given a particular endowment by God to minister to the church to bring them where it was, that where they are, to where the church might be. Hallelujah. So I began to pray and to ask God. I inquired of God. I said, how could this happen? And the Lord said to me, he was the least protected. You see, there was a revelation and an understanding of sin in the church that Brother Wilkerson had. And there was a time when there was an overture made to him concerning the end time message. Huh? Do you remember that, brother? Hallelujah. There was an overture that was made to him concerning the end time message, and he rejected it. He threw it in the trash can because he believed that this Sons of God movement was something that was out of sync with the harmony and the will of God. In fact, he thought it was false doctrine. But you know what? David Wilkerson was called as an end time prophet to the end time church. Right. Hallelujah. Now the fact that he was just out there in that secular system, moving and working in that arena, made no difference to the devil. He had a word, he had an understanding, he had a discernment, do you hear me? That it was honing in on the sin that was in the church. Yeah. Hallelujah. But it was not under the umbrella covering of this word. And I don't mean us as a people. I mean the word of God that God has given us. And if we think we're the only people that have this word, you are sadly mistaken. There are other people that are coming into the reality of this word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, they are moving out of their denominationalism and their harlot bondage to a harlot system. Hello? Hallelujah. They are moving out of that arena into the arena of sonship. But David Wilkerson was called as a minister, as a prophet, to the end time church. Yes. Hallelujah. But you know, when he rejected the word, his fate was sealed. It was a rejection of the word. Do you hear me? I was sitting there and I was interceding for his wife because I heard that she was on the verge of dying. And I was lamenting to God over the loss of such a ministry. I don't know how else to put it, but I felt the loss in my soul. Hello? Hallelujah. And as I was there in that time of prayer and seeking the Lord, the devil came in. Oh boy. Hallelujah. You know what he said to me? He says, if you do not stop and desist in what you are doing, I will do the same to you that I did to Brother Wilkerson. Hello? Oh, come on. You're looking at me funny. You don't think God, the devil does that? You don't think that God, the devil knows who you are? Huh? Those demons. What was those demons? Those devils. The sorcerer. The sorcerer Simon? Hallelujah. Simon the sorcerer. He wanted what it was the apostles had. Hallelujah. And he went over to do what the apostles did. Oh boy. Hallelujah. Some of us are playing with fire. Hello? We're playing with fire. And unfortunately, we are not asbestos. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? We're not asbestos Christians. Hallelujah. We don't have our flame retardant suit on. Hallelujah. Asbestos is a material that is fireproof. Hallelujah. 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 Devil knows who you are. Devil knows who you are. Hallelujah. You know, whenever I want to really get into God and get into the council and into that place, I just go to Sierra Leone. She's been there a lot. Praise God. We need to pray for her and her husband. They go there continually. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was in Sierra Leone. This was another time. Hallelujah. And I was there by myself and I was praying and looking to the Lord. And you know, the Lord just lifted me up out of that carnal natural realm. Hallelujah. You know, brother, sometimes the experience is so out of sync with your humanity that you think you're kind of losing it. You're losing touch with reality. I don't know if that ever... Well, I think we all lost touch with reality a long time ago. You just kind of lose touch with reality. But God lifted me up and he brought me down and he set me right in the midst of a council of hell. Hello? The big table around the chairs and was these hell angelic angels. Did you hear it? Hallelujah. And in amongst them were men and women that were human.
Right.
Hello? Oh, you're going to think I'm off my rocker, but that's all right. I'm telling you the truth. Go to God and ask him about it. Hallelujah. And they were having a council in hell. They were determining what to do about governments. They were determining what to do about organizations and things that were working around the world globally. They were making plans and strategies. And they had these dossiers and files on the activity of everything that was happening in the world. Hallelujah. Now, I don't really believe that there are file folders as I was seeing, but God was showing me what was happening in the Spirit, and he wanted me to understand the reality of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
and over on one corner of the table. And you know, these men and these women who are participating, they are someplace else in the world. They go there in this, what do they call it? Astral projection. It's just demon activity. Hallelujah. You know, the devil cannot duplicate what God does. Do you hear me? So he has to use something else. He uses the ability of man and how he is created to move in a spiritual realm, to manipulate those laws, to manipulate those rules in order to accomplish what needs to be done in that respect. And they come at a moment's notice. Do you hear me? They don't delay. They come at a moment's notice. How many of you turn your phone off at night? Shut off your speakers or whatever you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are always on call 24/7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they were making councils and they were doing their strategies. And over on the one side of the table was this other stack of folders that was all by itself. And I knew intuitively that this stack of folders pertained to those who would be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. I had all the information that you could possibly imagine in those folders about who and what we are. The color of our hair, the color of our eyes, what we like, what we don't like, what it is that irritates us. Not only did they have it about you and me, but they had it all the way back from one generation to another. Hello? And this stack of folders was going to come and to be a priority discussion of this time, at this time in this council. Hallelujah. Because you see, we were making some headway in Sierra Leone. We were disturbing the devil. Not only were we disturbing the devil, but we were kicking him out of his position, his place of preeminence. Something that has never happened with regards to Sierra Leone. There has been wars and all kinds of graft and corruption and all kinds of matter of atrocities and things over and over and over and over again. It's only been in the last few years that Sierra Leone has been able to come into a certain measure of prosperity. Because of the sin and the innocent blood that has been shed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But God put the burden upon individuals' hearts. Some of them were there working to establish, who have heard this word and begin to establish a beachhead. Hello? Do you know how many men and women, how many men died in Normandy just to establish a beachhead? It was one of the bloodiest battles of the whole war. Thousands of soldiers. And I don't know if you took it on both sides of the fence. Thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers died just to get one little position, one little place, one little parcel of ground that they could stick their flag into. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the bloodiest battles down there in the area of the Philippines. I think it's down there. What is the Iwo Jima? Yeah, it's down in that area. It was one of the bloodiest battles to get on the beach and then to take that mountain or that hill. Hallelujah! It was a bloody battle. It was hellacious. Hallelujah. Blood was flowing into the beach, and the beach was blood red, washing up on the shore, blood red. Hallelujah. We all have a work down there in a strategic place. And it is not too far from the place where that march happened with when the United States pulled out. Did you hear me? The United States pulled their troops out and left over 70,000 American and Filipino troops without any support. And they held on to the last man until their ammunition and their food ran out. Hallelujah. Does that sound familiar? Cut off the support, cut off the supply, and you starve them out. Hallelujah. You know, out of that 70,000 men, you know how many made it? Less than 15,000. Hallelujah. I'm talking about warfare. And if you think that this battle that we are in is any different than that battle, you are mistaken. This battle is even worse because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. There's nobody sitting here with a gun shooting us. Not yet. Hallelujah. Not yet. Why? Because the devil has decided he's going to come up and he's going to vex Judah. Hallelujah. Do you know, if you want to what do you do when you number something? Chronicleize it? Huh? Is it chronicleize it? You chronicle something, what do you do? You put it into a numeric, you can put it into a numerical order. Hallelujah. My goodness. Hallelujah. The devil has decided to come up. If you wanted to know where we are, if you wanted to know what has happened, go into Job. Read Job. Job's not just a story about a man who lived hundreds of thousands of years ago. Job is a story about you and me. Right. Now, the first thing it says, the sons of God were what? Gathered together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sons of God were gathered together. Hallelujah. We are now living in the time frame of Job. Hello? And you can go into the categorical position of that tribulation. There was two or three levels of that tribulation, I believe. The first level, he lost something. The second level, he lost more. The third level, he lost everything. Hallelujah. And on top of that, God let three of his good friends come and give him some moral support. Oh boy, if you got friends like that, you don't need any enemies. Huh? Hallelujah. But Job is not just a story of a man. Job is the benchmark for sonship. In the human realm. Do you understand me? Oh, we can make all kinds of excuses for Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. He had the inside track. He had the rails were greased for him. He just rode down in a smooth ride and went all the way to the finish line. But Job was a man, just like you and me. In physiological concept. Mental concept. Well, maybe he was probably a whole lot smarter than me. But nevertheless, he was a man, flesh and blood man, no blood, no Holy Spirit. Huh? I listened to a message by Leonard Ravenhill. I've listened to it several times, called The Judgment Seat of Christ. I keep going back over it in case I get too heady, to get too high-minded, get too proud of what it is I am, and too cocky about it. Hallelujah. And he starts listing all of these people who are going to be there in the General Assembly when I stand before God. Hello? Men like Enoch, men like Elijah, men like Moses, huh? Men like Job. And it's not only going to be those men. There's other men. I used to feed upon stories of Christians. Hallelujah. Not just Christians living in the United States. I fed upon stories of Christians that were in different parts of the world. Hallelujah. Who were zealous about their faith. Who were what we might even term fanatical about their position of belief in God. Hallelujah. And some of the things they did was totally, absolutely impossible, but they did it. Hallelujah. And not all of them lived in the doing of it. All of those people are going to be there. All of those people are going to be there. They're going to be standing there. I'm going to stand there before God, and he's going to be looking at me. And if I say I was too busy, he's going to look at Enoch. Hello? Oh, I didn't have the time to do it. He's going to look at Elijah. Hallelujah. You know, he's not even going to have to say anything. He's just going to look at him and then look at me. Huh? Hallelujah. I had family or responsibility. You look at Moses. Hallelujah. My God, these men have set benchmarks. They have set benchmarks. Do you hear me? Benchmarks. Hallelujah. I don't know how these men did it. Do you think they did it because it didn't cost them money? You think that it didn't cost them money to do what it was they had to? Just think about, no, I still didn't tell God, I don't have the money to do it. And he just said, come here, Noah. 120 years building a boat that's 300 cubits long, 50 cubits high. Do you know how many trees it takes to build that boat? Do you know how many trees? Huh? Hallelujah. Where did he get the money? Oh, he probably had a hen that laid the golden egg, right? Right. No. He pulled it out of his pocket. He pulled it out of his pocket. Pulled it out of his pocket. Pulled it out of his pocket. And God made sure that he always had something in his pocket to pull it out because God wanted something done. Do you think he had problems with his wife? Do you think he had problems with his children? Come on. Absolutely. He was human. They were human. Dad, I don't want to go out there and work on that old boat again today. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. Can you imagine his wife? Oh, you're always out there. You're spending daylight to dark. All time out there on that stupid little thing. And I don't even know what to call it. They were human. They had human situations. Hallelujah. But he had a tenacity. He had a determination. He had a relationship with a living God. He had a word. A word. Amen. He had a word. And the word that he had is the same word that we have. It says that God, that Noah, with fear, hallelujah, obeyed God. Hallelujah. To the saving of his household. Hello? Hallelujah. At the end of the day, don't you think the investment would be worth it? Hallelujah. You know, we went down to this thing down there in Kentucky. This creation park or something. I don't know what it is. But I never really visually understood the complexity of it. Even as a builder, I did not understand it. I just couldn't comprehend how it did. But they came out. I don't know how they came up with all of the things that they did. But in what they were doing, the feeding system and all of the things, the cleaning system and all of those things, it was so engineered. And I believe that what they had doesn't really come up to the standard of what it was they built. Now, brethren, just to get the wood from the ground to the top. Do you think he must have had to hire people, to work? Where did he get the money? Hello? You think his neighbors gave it to him? Hello? Come on! Hello? He pulled it out of his pocket. Now, there's something else here that we need to know. Where did he get the information on how to build it, the engineering? How did he get it? Do you think he got a degree from the engineering school of Noah's day? Do you think he got it from the Institute of Architectural Structures on Boats? Oh, maybe he went on the internet. And he typed in, how to build an ark. And it come back, ark what? Come on, brethren. Noah was a man. He had a family. He had a community in which he lived. He had to provide food. Had to provide clothes. Had to provide... They were all working for him. He had to take care of the whole bundle. The whole caboodle. Hello? Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, Noah wasn't that much of an exceptional character. God forgive me, you know, if I'm making this up. Hallelujah. Because we know what happened afterwards. Huh? Yeah, well, maybe he was had the boatophobia. And when he got loose, he had to get drunk. I don't know. But he wasn't that much of a... He wasn't somebody like you would think of Enoch. You understand? Enoch walked with God. Can you imagine a man that's walking with God getting going and getting drunk? Huh? And yet Noah believed God to an extent and obedient to do what it was that God had put on his heart to do. How much more should we be like Noah? How much more? You know, you may think I want your money. I don't. I'm glad I can talk about money. You know that? I have no inhibitions to do so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And don't tell me you don't love money. Mm-mm. Don't tell me that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a verse over in one of the, not the big prophets, but the little prophets. Huh? And he says, and there's an indictment against the church. It's an indictment against the church. He says, you take your money and you put it in a bag and it's got holes in it. What are the holes? Car payments, house payments, insurance payments, all of these other extra things. I'm not telling you don't need those. Hallelujah. But what you need is a word from God. Amen. Hello? Oh, we talk about sonship. Oh, we want to talk about sonship. You really, really want to talk about sonship? Huh? Are you sure? It says that Jesus Christ did nothing except that which he heard his Father say for him to do. Nothing! Nothing! Hello? It says that Jesus Christ said nothing except for what he heard his Father say. Nothing! When the Father wasn't speaking, do you think Jesus was talking? Come on! Let's get real! Let's get real! Hallelujah. Oh. And we talk about heaven. You want to talk about heaven? Do you know what heaven is? A rule of righteousness. That means somebody's looking over your shoulder the whole time you're doing anything and everything. And every time you do something, you can't do that. Huh? Hallelujah. Come on. Can you imagine what a hell it would be to living in a perfect world and you're imperfect? Have you ever thought about it? Hallelujah. The only remedy is to get rid of your imperfection and become perfect. That's the only remedy. Hallelujah. That's the only remedy. Oh my goodness. So this king... Hallelujah. Decided to go up to vex at Jerusalem. Is there anybody here who's not having some sort of problems? Anybody here? Because if there is, I want you to raise your hand and you can pray for me. Hallelujah. You got problems? Huh? My problems have problems, and those problems have problems, and those problems have problems, problems. Huh? And I turn this way and there's problems. I turn this way and there's problems. I turn this way, there's problems. I go back up, I can't because the problem back there is bigger than these problems. Problematic. Very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the remedy for this situation? What is the remedy for this vexation? Well, it is here in this chapter. I want you to go jump way down. It says in verse 10, Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, he got religious, you know. Ahaz got religious. Oh yes, any of you have trouble with being religious sometimes? I have it all the time. Hallelujah. Oh boy. Hallelujah. He says, Ahab got religious. He said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Oh boy, how did God take that one? Hallelujah. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Hello? Hello? Have you ever thought of God becoming weary of the actions and the foolishness that we get involved in? And the religious overtone that we put on it to justify our position of rebellion? Hello? You know, it is rebellion if what you are doing is not producing what it is that you were created for. It's rebellion. There's no other way around it. And I don't mean what you were born for in the natural. I mean what you were born for by the Spirit of God. You were born for a particular purpose. You were born for a particular reason. And that purpose and that reason is that you were to be created in the image of God. Huh? But you weren't, that wasn't enough. God wasn't satisfied with that aspect of it. He wanted you not only in His image, but He wanted you in His likeness. And men and women have died. Children have died. To establish and to ratify the covenant that God made with man in the days gone by. And it says, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days. Why? I will walk in them. I will talk in them. And I will be their God. And they will be my people. God has always been a God to His people, but His people have not always been a people to a God. Hallelujah. And I think I heard it this morning, or maybe sometime, maybe I was in the Spirit. But what I heard, it is enough. I heard a word, it is enough. Did somebody say that? Or did I just hear it? It is enough. God is saying, it is enough. Hallelujah. The foolishness and the petty little things that set us off down these what we call rabbit trails that lead nowhere. And have you ever followed a rabbit trail? It runs into a brush. It runs into a briar patch sometimes. Hello? Hallelujah. What we need is a living, walking, talking relationship with a living God. Hallelujah! Our relationship with God should be at least what it was with Enoch. Hello? That's the least. That's the lowest. That's down there on the bottom. Hallelujah. The top is our relationship should be sampled and patterned after the Son of God. That's how it should be patterned. That's how we should be walking in His footsteps. Hallelujah. Did I tell you the vision that I had about that? Hallelujah. I was down at the Duceils. They called me down there. They wanted to have a time of prayer and seeking the Lord, and they called me to come down. And it was just me and them, and we were in prayer, and all of a sudden I went into this vision, and in the vision I saw this huge, like, stone wall. Hallelujah. And I knew that this stone wall was indicative of the hardness of man's heart. Hallelujah. But down at the bottom of the wall, somewhat in the center of it, there was this door. And it had a gold frame. And the door itself was golden. And I knew that it was the only entrance. You could look all the way down there, and you could look all the way down there, and there was no other entrance. It just disappeared into the horizon somewhere. Hallelujah. And that little gold door had no knob on it. Hallelujah. So I couldn't open it. I'm down there and I'm looking at it. And it's not like a full-fledged door. You know, you open it and you just walk in. It's down here. It's very small. Hallelujah. And I was looking at it, and I got down on my knees, and I was looking at the door. And I'm wondering, how do I get in? There's no hinges on the outside. It was just the line around the inside of the frame to distinguish the door from the frame. And I'm saying, how do I get in there? How do I open this thing? And I'm pushing it, and I'm doing all kinds of things with it. Hallelujah. But it's not cooperating. And I sit back and I come back. You know how you'll get back on your heels, you know? Sit down on your heels, and I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden the thing goes, and it swings open. Hallelujah. And I knew that, oh my, this is God. I knew intuitively this is God. And the door swinging open was, as it were, an invitation to me. Hello? It was an invitation to me. And I had to get down on my hands and knees, and I looked in. Now, what would you expect to see? You know it's God. It's gold. Huh? What would you expect? Oh, flowing grass and beautiful flowers. Right? Huh? Maybe breeze is blowing. You've heard it, but so you know. Birds singing, the breeze is blowing. Oh, yes, the dear, cool, clear water running. Oh, yes. No. It was dark. It was gloomy. And I'm looking, and it's sand, like a desert. And I'm looking, and I'm trying to peer through the denseness of the darkness. And I am startled. I'm startled because I see human bones. Bits and pieces of human bones. And, oh, what's your first reaction? Oh, man, this is not God. I rebuke you. Of course, you wouldn't have done that, would you? Huh? And I'm looking, and all of a sudden I become aware there are barefoot prints in the sand. As someone has walked around there, go walk down that path. Hallelujah. And I knew. I heard God speak to me in some sort of fashion, I don't know. I knew that I was to go through the door and begin to walk in those footprints. And I said, I knew that it was imperative. I had to place my foot exactly in the print. Amen. I couldn't fudge it to the right. I couldn't fudge it to the left. I couldn't overstep it. I couldn't understep it. I had to put it right there in the middle of that footprint. And that footprint would have to remain the same. Have you ever tried to do that with your own stride? Go out and do it. Get some sand and just stride down and then come back and try to follow it. Huh? It's almost impossible. I suppose you could do it if it's your footprint. But you know something? I was aware of my foot was bigger than the print. And I said to God, oh God, this is impossible. Hallelujah. You know, there was a word that Brother Duseal got years ago before he came to the States. It was when God called him and began to show him that message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Duseal asked a very legitimate question. The Lord said to him, I want you to go with this message and to tell my people. He says, all the men I have called, they have failed. That's what the Lord told him in his calling, in his election. They have all failed. Hallelujah. And Brother Duseal asked the question, then how is it that I will not fail? Hallelujah. And God says, you can make it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All others have failed. All others have failed. The bones and the relics of humanity that were laying in various disarray along that path was indicative of that failure of being able to walk in these steps as Christ was walking when he was here on earth. Hello? Are you there? Are you sure? You got no amens. I'm getting none. Zitch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I said to God, God, this is impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. Have you ever told God it was something was impossible? It's kind of stupid, isn't it? But I said it's impossible for me to do what it is you are requiring for me to do. He said to me, being made conformable unto his death. Hello? Being made conformable unto his death. That means as I walk that path and I allow the Spirit of God to kill off this old Adam, as I mortify the deeds of my flesh. Huh? Isn't that what the Bible says we're supposed to do in Galatians? What does it say? Mortify ye the deeds of the flesh. That means kill them. Put them to death. Hallelujah. Take it out and shoot it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being made conformable to his death. So as I walk with God and I present my body as a living sacrifice, my God, that means my mind, my emotions, my desires, my sense of security and all of the things that are of comfort to me, the money in my pocket, everything that I think is mine must become at his disposal and it must go into the fire. Did you hear me? Must go into the fire. Fire! God said, I have not come to bring peace upon the earth, but I have come with a sword. Huh? You know the word of God divides? Do you know the word of God cuts? Hallelujah. I think it was Brother Mark that had a dream of a being. Was it in a morgue? Or was it just in a hospital operating room? It was this man laying, huh? It was a man laying on a gurney type situation that was open from the back, right? He was dead already. Hallelujah. Well, I wish we could say that. I'm dead already. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, let's watch this. Oh boy. And he was. You were given the knife. You had to go underneath and just cut out all this dead flesh, right? Huh? Cut it out. Hallelujah. And you know, they tell me that when you're working in a situation like that, you have to take some of the healthy stuff. Huh? Isn't that right? In order to generate healing or something. I don't know how it works. I'm not a medical person. But I know that it is something that is also has to be taken in order to fix the problem. Hallelujah. What did you think it meant when it says to present your bodies as living sacrifices? Go to church. Recite a few verses. Sing a few hymns. Do clap and dance. Be respectful to parents. Is that what you think? Huh? Oh, give to the church well and then. Get involved in the activities of the church. Go to missions. Come on, brethren. It says the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Has anybody qualified for that yet? Have they qualified for that yet? I don't know of anybody. If you know somebody, let me know. I want to go talk to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, what is mine should be God's. It should be given to God. You know, if I don't have it, I don't have to worry about it. I don't even have to worry about not having it. Hello? Oh, my goodness. So it says, but so here we have Ahaz putting on his priestly garments. Oh my goodness. So he says, it is a small thing that for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Oh, there was another thought. Boy, you're so fortunate tonight. There's another thought I have. It is the story of Onan. Do you know who Onan is? Huh? Who was Onan? The son of Judah. Isn't that amazing? Son of Judah. Hallelujah. Well, there was a brother that Onan had that married a wife. But they died before she could conceive and bring forth children. So Onan, being the next in line, or one of those in line, I think they went through. Huh?
He was next.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's how got him in trouble, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was that Onan would have to take her as a wife and raise up children from him unto his dead brother. Oh, dead brother? Dead brother. My goodness. It sounds like Christianity in a little ways, doesn't it? Huh? It says he was cut off in the midst of his generation. Who what? Who will declare? Come on! You don't know the scripture? You don't know the verse? Huh? It says, who will declare his generation? You know, they made a whole message out of it. It's called the 42nd generation. Huh? Hallelujah. Onan. Hallelujah. Is a type of the church. Onan is a type of the church. Onan did not want to bring up seed to his brother. Hallelujah. And so he foiled the thing. And he spilled his seed on the ground, the scripture says. Hallelujah. And what happened? It says the anger of God was kindled against Onan. And what happened? He smote Onan and Onan died. Hello? Okay. Do you think God has changed his mind? Huh? Do you think God has somehow adjusted his program and how he looks at what it is that we do, how we do it, and how we handle what it is that God has given us? Hello? Come on. Hallelujah. Do we use the word of God, hallelujah, in a manner that is illegal as far as God is concerned? Concerning the propagation and the bringing forth of seed after Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel.
Hallelujah.
Emmanuel. What is that?
God.
Where? Where?
Jesus.
Where's us? Where's in? Where's where? Where? In us. In you. In me. Amen. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The remedy for the vexation of the Syrian king against Judah. The remedy, the deliverance was not in a mighty battle of confrontation between kings. It was in the aspect of an entity that was called the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let us identify ourselves with this thought. Hallelujah. Let us identify ourselves. Romans, the 8th chapter. 8 is the number of new beginnings. Hallelujah. Verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hello, are you there? Are you going to sleep? Am I putting you to sleep? I'm not shouting loud enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to back it up a little bit. I want to go back up to fourth verse. Hallelujah. No, let me go back up to the second. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, not in Christ, but in us. Hello? Come on. Not in Christ, in us. In you, in me. There is a fulfilling of the righteousness who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For they are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. My God. Hallelujah. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. You know what? You can justify whatever it is you're doing, and you can use scriptures. Let me rephrase it. I can justify whatever I'm doing as unto God. Use all the scriptures I want to use. Use all the reasoning and all of the things that pertain to it. But it's not you that is going to determine whether I'm telling the truth. I am going to stand before a living God. I am going to be assessed by a living God. I'm going to be judged by a living God. And He is going to determine the reality of what it is that I say. You know what? And He's going to do it very simply, very easily. Friend, where is your wedding garment? Says the man was speechless. Why was he speechless? He had no excuses. And they were just that, excuses. Hallelujah. All right, let me jump down. Let me jump down. Now, therefore, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. How many times and how many different ways does he have to say it before we get the idea? Huh? If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I am a dead man. I am a dead man. Hello? Dead man. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and whereby the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know, brethren, I don't care if it's Julios or a Technon, it's still got the DNA of a living God. It's a son. In a family, and is looked at as a son. You don't believe it. Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Did you hear it? If we suffer with Him. Hallelujah. Brethren, whether you like it or not, you're going to be persecuted for what it is you believe. The devil is going to try to intimidate you. The devil is going to try to scare you. The devil is going to try to do everything he can do to possibly make you recant. Did you hear me? Recant. Hallelujah. If you want to know what they did to people to get them to recant, go back and read history. 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. You can go into the 1900s. And you can go into the 2000s and go into these different countries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Isn't it fun? Isn't it something that he says a virgin shall conceive? Huh? Do you remember the parable? Five wise and five foolish. What were they? Virgins. They were those that were not given themselves to men. They're all, and they were a spouse to one husband. Hallelujah. They were a spouse to one husband. Hallelujah. It says, he shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called God in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, Brother George was talking earlier about discernment. Hallelujah. You don't get discernment by examining and investigating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are two trees in the garden. One was called the tree of life. The other one was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I will put them in more simplistic terms. One was a tree of light. The other was a tree of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says of this God in you. Butter and honey shall he eat. You're supposed to be eating butter and honey. Not gall and vinegar, not right yet. Huh? You're supposed to be eating butter and honey. You know what butter and honey is? Huh? It's a relationship with God. It's building a platform of communication. It's building a platform of trust and fidelity. Hello? Those are attributes that cannot be given. Those are attributes that have to be earned. They are attributes that have to be established by experience. Hallelujah. You know, if Brother Gary tells me, hallelujah, well, I'm going to meet you at 3 o'clock on such and such a day, and I come down there at 3 o'clock, and Brother Gary is there. Huh? And then I turn around, and at another point, he says, I'm going to meet you in such and such a place at 12:30. And I go down there at 12:30, and Brother Gary is there. And another time, he says something, and this goes on, and it goes on. And I get a revelation. When he tells me he's going to be someplace, that's where he's going to be. And I can trust the fact that he's going to be there. Hello? I may not know anything else about the man, but what I know is he's punctual. Hello? So when he tells me he's going to meet me at 12:30 at night in this dark, gloomy place, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's scary, creepy thing. I don't want to go down there. What if he's not there? But, you know, I can't think. I don't want him down there by himself. I have to go down there. I better go down there. So I do what I have to do to be sure that I'm there when he tells me to be there. Hello? Hallelujah. I know, you know, I don't know anything else about him, but I know he's punctual. Somebody tells me, Gary's not punctual, he's always late. I says, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, oh yes, he is. I did so and so and so and so. I said, that's not the Gary I know. And then there's somebody else, I said, no. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. What you're saying is not the fact of what I know. Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I have to know God like that.
Yes.
I have to know that God is a God, and I know God when God talks. I know when God walks. I know when God thinks. I know when God is. I know when God was. I know anything and everything about God that I can possibly know in a human realm and a spiritual position of relationship. You know why the elect won't be deceived? They know God.
Hallelujah.
Not because of some major revelation they have that has made them of the sonship company. Hello? It is not by fact of what has been prophesied over them, not by what has been laid hands upon them. It's by the fact of their position of relationship with a living God.
Yeah,
relationship is everything. Without relationship, you don't have anything. Nothing. Nothing. No relationship, you have nothing. Hallelujah. You know, there are certain things I know about my wife, you know, that nobody else knows, but I know them. Huh? I know them. I know them. I know the ability to trust, the ability that she has in the aspect of loving God and all of those things. And I can always count on what I know. Huh? Hello? Are you listening?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We do not have that relationship with God. Huh? Hallelujah. We do not have it. You know, I know that there are certain things I can say to her, and I know what she's going to do. I'm going to get in trouble. So I don't say those things.
Like what?
And I'm sure it's vice versa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's some things that I can do, and there's some things I cannot do. Hello? Why? Because we know each other. We know we have a relationship. We were in and out that relationship every day. From daylight to dark and through the night. Come on, brethren. If I get up in the middle of the night, or she's restless or something, and I'm there's something amiss, I can stop and I can pray. And she can do the same for me. Come on. Hello? Hallelujah. Why? Because we know each other. We know each other intimately. We know each other. I'm not talking in a physical way. I'm talking in a soulish way, in a matter of mental, emotional desire as far as our soul is concerned. We are to know God better.
That's right.
We are to know God better. If we spend as much time knowing God, or finding God, as we spend in making a living, we wouldn't have to make a living. We wouldn't. We would not have to make a living. God would take care of us. Hallelujah. What did Psalm, have I ever seen, what was it? Huh? Have I seen the righteous? Huh? Everybody's talking at the same time. I can't hear you.
Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed out begging bread.
Huh? Come on. We believe that. How do we believe it? No, we don't. We got to go to work. We have to go out there and we have to earn that living. And you do. Don't stop it because you don't have the relationship to provide for you. Build a relationship and God will tell you, okay, it's time for you to quit work. We have examples of it. George Mueller, but that's one of Brother George's favorite characters. George Mueller, I think he just finished a book and he was talking to George Mueller, George Mueller, George Mueller, George Mueller. And I said, oh boy, I just changed my name to George Mueller. Hallelujah. Relationship, relationship, relationship. You know, I know, I'm like a broken relationship, 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 relationship. Huh? But it is. That's all it is. That's all. It's simple, isn't it? It's too simple, isn't it, Brother Jokes? It's too simple. Isn't it too simple?
Relationship. Just having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, these men must have had a relationship. Can you imagine? Okay. Enoch. Oh boy, what time? Enoch. Is that clock right? What does your clock say? Hallelujah. Enoch. Do you think he loved his wife? You think he loved his children? Think he loved his grandchildren? Huh? So what do you think Enoch did when it came time for God saying, okay, Enoch, I can't let you stay here any longer. I can't let you stay. Do you think God tied up the loose ends? Or you just took Enoch? Huh? I think Enoch had a choice. Huh? I think he had a faith and ability to believe that God would take care of his wife, his children, his grandchildren, and any and every other business that needed to be taken care of. I don't know, brethren. This Bible is so far above us, and we are so down in the low bite area, it seems almost impossible for me to get up into that arena. It says, if a man love his, he love his father and mother. What else? Brothers and sister. Huh? House, land. More than what?
Me.
Is what? God said that? Are you sure?
Yes.
You know, God knows that if I can love him in that manner, if I can love him in that way, then God will do what he has to do for all the other things. You know, Jesus Christ had a responsibility as the oldest son to take care of his mother. That was his responsibility. And you know, we know that he did it by what he did when he was hanging on the cross. He fed her. He clothed her. He took care of her. Hallelujah. And he did not release his obligation or his responsibility until he was hanging on the cross. And he said to John, he said, son, behold thy mother. Said to his mother, behold thy son. The mantle of that natural authority was passed. And from that day forward, John took Mary into his house and treated her as his mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! We're talking about the mechanics. You want God to do something for you, you have to do what it is that we have to do in order for God to do it. God isn't going to do it if in the doing of it, he spoils you. And you will always expect him to do it when he has given you the authority to do it. So brethren, God is calling us to another dimension. You know, I'm not pushing you. I'm not forcing you. It's your choice. It's your decision. I'm just telling you what the facts of the matter are. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. And you don't have to believe it. You really don't. And you can make excuses for it. I am not the loser in that situation. I am not the loser. And I have to do it just as much as you have to do it, if not more. The criteria and the responsibility is upon me to perform and to produce Christ in me. Hallelujah. And I don't mean by my natural effort. I mean by the fact of what it is that I do concerning
what I have in giving it all into His hands. My God. Brother Duciel said many times, he was had a very prosperous, or at least not prosperous, maybe in the sense of prosperity we know, but a very good situation in Jamaica. What with his farm, his accounting, Mavis in her school. And when the call of God came, they had to walk out of it. They just had to walk out of it. They had to leave it. You know what he said? Yeah, I'm sure you heard it. Huh? He says, my business is God's business. And if my business is in a mess, that is also God's business. The mess is not my responsibility. My responsibility is doing what God has told me to do. Praise God. God bless you.
Consecration, you know, to be a son. Then after you can come while we sing that song. If you want to make a consecration, want to respond, you can just come to the front and then we can pray.
Amen.
There's a song that says, I want to be a child of the light. And it says, the star of my life is Jesus. I just wanted to sing that song, and you know, it's an opportunity for us to respond as the Lord touches our hands to bring this offering. I say, Lord, we want to make a fresh consecration. We ask for a fresh fire to come upon this offering, the offering of our soul, the offering of our life. And you know the thing God is touching, the things He is asking to be brought for you, the idols and the situations. As we stand as priests. And so, Lord, we bring an offering, we respond. Even in the tenor, even in the vein of the Spirit of God that has been poured forth, that has been ministered even unto us this evening. So I don't know if we can sing that song. I want to be a child of the light. Yes.
Thank you.
This night to respond. Lord, we do not come with many words, but Lord, we come with an offering. Lord, we want to put something on the table. Lord, we come with the offering of our lives.
Yes.
And Lord, we want to say to you, we come to make a fresh commitment that we want to be sons.
Amen.
Lord, we realize that this is the day and the hour when you are activating your sons. Because at midnight, you say you will bring your son out of Egypt. And Lord, we come to subscribe,
Jesus, hallelujah,
to this call. Lord, we do not know what it will take. We don't even feel like it. We don't even think like it. We're not even excited at it, oh God. But Lord, we can see. We can see into your heart. We can feel the fresh warmth of your spirit that which has been ministered this night, oh God. Lord, we want to make an offering that we want to be sons. Hallelujah. Lord, we put it on the table. We say, oh God, that you might draw us. For unless you draw us, we cannot. There is not the ability in us to come to you. So Father, we ask that you might put your hand up fresh upon us, O God. Lay your hand afresh upon us. Lord, touch us afresh, O God. Breathe upon us afresh, O God. Quicken us afresh, O God. Lord, as I might turn yourself, turn your grace, turn your attention, O God. Lord, cause your favor to begin to come. For he did not say that you will arrive.
Hallelujah.
And you will have mercy upon Zion.
Oh, yes.
Because the set time to favor her has come, O God. I will come this night to ask you, O God, to turn to us. They might return unto us, O God. You might visit us again. We have just one offering. We say, O God, we desire to be among this realm.
Yes.
Upon this
faithfulness.
Yes. 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 You will have the first fruit.
Yes.
The first fruit from the earth.
Jesus.
He said, then I have been redeemed from among men.
Yes.
Now follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes.
Yes. Amen.
He said, you have the Father's name written. So that these are they that have overcome the beast. They have not worshipped the image of the beast. They have not received the mark of
Jesus.
The beast. They have neither the number of his name. He said that these are the priests of God. For they shall reign upon the earth. Lord, we come to subscribe to this, O God. For like one said that our heart has heard the sound of saints on higher ground. For one said that I have heard the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Lord, we ask you, O God, to move in our circumstances, to move in our situations, Lord, to loosen us, to bring us to the place where we ought to be. Lord, we confess that we are so far away, that we are so far back. But Lord, you say you will do a work in righteousness, that you will intervene, that you will walk a walk and you will cut it short in righteousness.
Amen.
Therefore, Lord, we ask you that you might look upon this offering, O God.
Amen.
That you might receive it, O God. Let this incense be that which will be pleasant unto you. Let it be that which will bless your heart. Oh yeah, let it be that which will be acceptable unto you, O God. Lord, we bless you for bringing us to such a place at such a time as this.
Yes.
Lord, we know that, Lord, that your spirit is moving. So, Lord, we come to prophesy to the east and to the west and to the south and to the north. We ask that the spirit of the Lord will blow upon humanity. Let it blow upon Zion. Lord, let there be a fresh move in Zion, O God. Let there be a fresh walk in Zion. That the sons of God will be waking up. Say, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let them wake up, the men of God. Let the men of war wake up, O God. Let, Lord, that Zion will arise and awake, O God. We prepare war. Hallelujah. For he said, as soon as Zion travels, she brought forth. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to receive strength. That in this war, oh God, that the house of David will begin to prevail over the house of Saul. Lord, that our strength will begin to wax stronger in the places where we have known defeat over the armies of Satan. Lord, that the battle will be turned to the gates of the enemy, and that the gates of hell will no longer prevail. Lord, we thank you for the shout of the king is in our midst. So Lord, we receive strength and we receive encouragement, Lord, to go forth in this strength. We bless you for that which you have done. We thank you for your visitation.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.